Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Wonderful to be here with you again. We're going to continue with our understanding of the importance of the fruit of the Spirit. Because I tell you what, we just can't stop learning about this. There is so much that needs to be developed in this area in our hearts. And the curriculum is long, so to speak, but God is good. And He's going to help us to be able to learn and to grow and develop in this as we walk with Him. Amen? So today, Pastor Fred, he had talked about patience and long-suffering last week. Today, we're going to talk about kindness. A lot to be said about it, as you will see here in a little bit. But to kick us off, I want us to go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And so you can turn there and get ready. But as we're going to do that and prepare, I'm going to invite you to stand up, and we're going to read the vision together. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here today, God. Lord, we thank you that you are developing us, that you're growing us, you're stretching us, you're making us uncomfortable. And Lord, we thank you for that because, Lord, we need to be shaken up a little bit. God, there's so much pride, there's so much arrogance, there's such a lack of humility in our hearts, God, when it comes to spiritual things that, God, we do. Our hardened hearts need to be softened. So thank you for doing whatever it takes to do that. And God, we just submit to the process, Lord, knowing that it's for our good, for our blessing, and for the blessing of all of those who are around us, God, that we go through what we're going through, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. First and foremost, I want to remind us that when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, they all stem from the agape love of God. All of the fruit of the Spirit start with agape, which is the supernatural, unconditional love of God, a love that is not based on your performance or your behavior. It is unconditional, just like Lindsay was talking about, is unconditional love. So when we consider that, we also have to keep in mind that because it is the God kind of love, we need to know that all the other fruit of the Spirit are also God versions of the things that we see in the world, okay? Like you hear of like worldly love versus godly love, or worldly patience versus godly patience. Well, we're not interested in just learning more and more about worldly attributes or virtues. What we want is what God can develop in us through His Holy Spirit in the fruit of the Spirit. So if His love is supernatural, then this kind of kindness that we're talking about is supernatural. This is a supernatural kind of kindness that, frankly, I don't know that many people are aware of. There are some people who may even go their whole lives without experiencing the goodness of God as it pertains to His supernatural kindness exemplified by believers. Because the world is, well, focused on conditional kindness. Conditional kindness being the idea that, well, hey, I'll be nice to you if you be nice to me. I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. If you pay me respect, I'll give you respect. That's the kind of kindness that the world has. But if you don't show that or you don't exemplify that, well, then you will receive none in return. But this kind of kindness, the God kind of kindness, is supernatural and is also unconditional, like agape. Meaning, there is not a situation that exists where you cannot exemplify the God kind of kindness. that you will always be able to do this as you rely on the Holy Spirit. He will help you to have his kind of kindness no matter what you go through. Even if it's somebody you're really upset with, a situation that is really ruffling your feathers, whatever it might be, you can and will be able to exemplify this supernatural kind of kindness as you rely on the Holy Spirit doing that work in your heart. And here's the thing, the best way to grow is by experience. I know you don't want to hear that. It's by experience. I think most of us would really be happy if we could just come and hear a message and just have it downloaded into us, and we got it, we're good. We understand it like the back of our hand, and we can now live it out, right? No. It takes far more than just simply being taught something than really going through the experience of it. As you do that, as you go through the experience, you are learning it in a way that's so intimate and so in your face that you won't be able to deny that what you're going through is going to necessitate the kind of kindness and patience that God is wanting us to have. Amen? And I say, when we're talking about that kind of kindness, that it's something that, even though it's a struggle for a lot of us to imagine being kind to people when they don't deserve it, which we're going to find is a big part of this kind of kindness, even though we find that, there is life in it. It's not going to be this thing we begrudgingly do. It's not going to be this drudgery of, oh, I got to go be kind to somebody now. It's going to fill you with vibrancy, vitality. God is going to fill you with his Holy Spirit to be able to give you what it takes to be kind like Jesus is kind. And it's going to give you life, and not just for yourself, it's going to help other people in ways that they can only experience through someone showing them the kindness of Christ through you. So yes, we have to go through it by experience. So it's going to be developed when you don't want to show it at all. When you have an opportunity to not want to be kind is when this is going to be exercised the most. I know we want to exercise it in easy situations, but what's the point of a test if it's easy, you know? If every test you ever took when you were in school was a test you already knew all the answers to without studying, what was the point of that? To puff you up? To make you feel good about yourself? We're not into that. We want to actually be developed and learn. So God is going to give us tests that are going to be difficult to pass without being able to rely on him. They'll be impossible to pass without being able to rely on him. So guess what? There are things that are coming your way right now that are going to test your kindness, are going to test your ability to be kind even when people don't deserve it. And it's funny because you already have people in your mind right now. You already do. Some of you are like, yes, I do. You got me. Yep, there are people that are in your mind right now that you struggle being kind to that God is already bringing up in your heart that he's going to show you, hey, it's going to do something. It's going to help you. It's going to help them to understand what we're talking about today. When people hear the word kindness, they oftentimes think of kindergarten. They think of like elementary principles. They think of like, oh yeah, you know, like what we learned in kindergarten about sharing our crayons and, you know, not bullying people or something, you know, and that's like as far as our kindness goes. You know, we tend to kind of isolate it to the earlier parts of our life. Like, oh yeah, we've mastered that already. You know, I'm generally a cordial person and personable, and people say that I'm nice, and so I must have this kindness thing down already. Well, to be honest, none of us have it down pat. Each and every one of us could stand to be developed and to learn and grow as it comes to the kindness of God. Pastor Fred, like I said, had talked about patience and long-suffering, and you'll notice that it comes right before kindness in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, right? And that is also exemplified later on in 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It's like they're conjoined at the hip. And the point is, without being able to demonstrate biblical patience, you're not going to be able to demonstrate biblical kindness. How many extremely impatient people do you know that are also at the same time very, very kind people? They don't typically, you know, go hand in hand. If you don't have one, you typically don't have the other. And the reason is because in order to be genuinely kind to somebody, you're going to have to put up a little bit with their shenanigans, a little bit with their cantankerous spirit or attitude that they might have. It's going to require you to have grace on them, which is going to mean that you're going to have long suffering. patience that is exemplified towards people. God is calling us to be not just patient with them, but to be kind to them. Not just to say, okay, well, you know, I know that I need to give you time, I need to give you space, and et cetera, but I'm now not only going to be patient with you, I'm going to proactively seek you out and be kind to you. And that's a very big difference. So these two things go hand in hand. They're conjoined at the hip, like I said. And it all starts with the kindness of God towards you and I. The kindness of God that he showed us, that he has demonstrated to us, that's where it begins. That's where our understanding of this comes from. And if you look in the scriptures, you see that it is demonstrated. Like Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was kindness. Before we ever apologized for doing wrong, before we ever realized that we did anything wrong, before we ever even thought, you know, maybe I feel a little convicted by this or not, he chose to initiate the relationship. He chose to do something for us, sacrifice for us, something priceless and precious. That is God's kindness. We also see his kindness in Luke chapter 6, 35. Jesus is speaking when he says, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he, God, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. God is kind to the unthankful and evil. If God can show kindness to those who are unthankful and evil, and he expects us to walk like Jesus, to live like Jesus, you and I need to be willing to be kind to those whom we might consider unthankful or evil. That person you see on the news who did something so atrocious that you would like to string them up and beat them with a baseball bat. Now, some of you are like, well, that sounds cruel. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Someone that you've seen on the, you know, in some news story, they did something terrible. They hurt somebody. They hurt maybe lots of people. And you're like, man, if I could be alone in a room with them right now, I would. You name it. He expects us to be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Why? Because you and I were once unthankful and evil, and we accepted his kindness. So we're not going to extend that kindness when other people need to be shown the kindness of Christ. It's powerful when they experience the kindness of Christ. Like I said, there are many people who maybe have never experienced it being exemplified through a believer in Jesus. Maybe all they've ever been shown is conditional kindness. I think a lot of people out there are starving for the unconditional, supernatural kindness of God. As Christians, we have a hard enough time being kind to fellow believers, let alone those whom we deem unthankful and evil. I don't know, I think maybe we could all acknowledge that if you go to church, there tends to be people there. And where there's people, there tends to be drama everywhere, right? I mean, I know that some of you have thought, well, I've been on the journey to find the church without drama for 50 years. There's a reason it's taken you so long, because it doesn't exist. Where there are people, there will be drama. That's just how it is in any family, right? You're going to have drama. But we need to know that that's the perfect place to begin practicing kindness. We need to show it amongst ourselves as a family, and we need to show it to the people of this world who don't know a thing about God. We need to be able to be equipped to do that. I want to look at Luke chapter 6 in its entirety from verse 32 to 37, the sort of the encompassing of the verse that we read previously. It says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Let's say that again. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. I don't know about you, but I need to grow in this. I know that so often I'm living in that conditional kindness mode, that idea of, you know, how you act towards me is going to dictate how I act towards you. And let's face it, I mean, we're spiritual beings, right? But at the same time, we also are way more emotional than we realize. Like, we make so many of our decisions based on emotions. Like, it's funny how emotionally, like, what you feel like doing sort of dictates what you do so often, but we don't need to live that way, do we? If we're conscious of that, and even in social situations or relational situations, you do not have to react simply based upon what you feel like at the moment. When you're talking to so-and-so and they're upsetting you, you might feel like in that moment, you know what? I think I'm going to punch you right in the jaw. I think I'm going to tell you what for. I think I'm going to, et cetera. And that starts rising up in you. Are you a slave to your emotions? Do you have to do what your emotions tell you to do? No, you don't. And that's where this biblical kindness thing comes in, because it's going to require us to go through situations where you do not want to show it, for you to take a step back, to take a deep breath, and to say, I'm going to show kindness. Now, as long as we're talking about kindness, I think it's pertinent to mention, we haven't really defined kindness yet. Because again, we take for granted that we think we know what kindness means. We just assume, oh yeah, that's that thing in kindergarten, right? But we want to talk about what kindness actually looks like, what it actually means. So we're going to study this word in the Greek a little bit. I've got this entire page of notes just on this word for kindness. And we're going to go through them, and I know some of you are terrified. I see the look on your face right now. You're like, my eyes are going to gloss over. I'm going to fall asleep. Ryan's going to be awkwardly staring at me when I wake up. It's true, I will be. And we're going to have to move on from that awkward moment. My encouragement to you is, buckle in, stay tuned, because this is really important for us to understand, okay? Kindness in the Greek, in Galatians chapter 5, in this context that we see it, is the word krestates, okay? Krestates. And this word means, has a lot of meanings, but one of the first ones is, it is useful and it is profitable. And a lot of times this word in the Greek, it'll be translated into English in one of three words. It'll often be translated as gentleness, goodness, and of course, kindness, like we're talking about. And it's because it is so heavy with meaning that it can come from the Greek to the English in any one of those words and still be capturing the essence of what is being said. Actually, if you look in the King James Version of Scripture at the same verse in Galatians 5, it'll mention goodness and or gentleness instead of kindness. And so just understand these words are meant to be synonymous in this context, but it means all three of those things. Gentleness, goodness, and kindness. It means to be useful and profitable. It also is heavily connected to the word benignity. How many of you have never in your life heard of the word benignity? Only as many of you that raised your hands, you're the only honest ones. I'm just kidding. Some of you probably have heard the word. I have never heard of that word before prior to studying this. And benignity means the quality of being kind, gentle, and tolerant. Kind, gentle, and tolerant. It is also, krestates, kindness, it is also heavily connected to the word philanthropy. And philanthropy is seeking to promote the well-being of others, especially by donating money to good causes and to the poor. So any philanthropic practice you hear of, you oftentimes hear about it like on, you know, the news or whatever, like so-and-so donated this much money to this good cause. Like, that's philanthropy, right? But the big thing, that the big takeaway of understanding what philanthropy is about is the idea that it's about seeking the well-being of others. So the God kind of kindness is about seeking the well-being of others. And finally, it's connected to the word forbearance. Forbearance, which means patient self-control, restraint, and tolerance. Now, sometimes it can be beneficial when you're studying a word to look at what it's not, to look at the antonym of a word instead of synonyms that describe a word. And the antonym in the Greek for krestates is the word apotomia, apotomia. And it essentially means it's the quality of being extremely thorough, exhaustively so, and accurate. It means being demanding, difficult, extreme, and it means being severe, harsh, and strict. So we see that this is opposed to the kind of kindness that we need to have. Not conditional worldly kindness, but a God, supernatural kind of kindness that needs to be developed in us. It'll be free of those negative qualities. Now, the thing is, when we study this word and we have like all of these things flying at us, you know, I just read you like a thousand different things about what it means, what it might look like. I did you a favor. You can go ahead and thank me. The favor is, I took all of those words that we just learned and the antonym meanings, the synonym meanings, and I put it together in a nutshell definition. It's so small, it's only 43 words. And I'm going to read it to you. This, I think, is a great working definition of what biblical kindness is all about. The supernatural characteristic of being gentle and tolerant that fills the entire person while exercising restraint and self-control to the point where any abrupt and extreme harshness is relaxed or softened while also actively seeking the well-being of others in a useful manner. I do realize that when I read that, there are a couple words in there that I think people typically get hung up on, being gentle and being tolerant. These are two words we get hung up on because we hear so much negative connotation around these words, especially in this day and age, that we wonder, well, how in the world could these words be ascribed to God, right? And understand, like, when you hear the word gentle, oftentimes people assume what you mean is being a doormat. They think, oh, if you're gentle, you're a pushover. You know, you're somebody who you're just going to let other people walk all over you. That's not what gentle really means. Just like Pastor Fred was talking about, real gentleness, it's power under restraint, power under control. It's your ability, it involves your ability to be teachable, to be meek. And so gentleness includes with it the idea that, yeah, I could knock your block off. I could get you told. I could, you know, win this debate or go out of my way to make you feel dumb, but I'm not going to do that for your well-being. I'm going to withhold. I'm going to put restraint on myself that even though the power might be there for your sake, I'm not going to do that. That's gentleness. Gentleness is also being free from harshness, sternness, or violence. And it also means to be moderate, calm, and tame. So again, relating to that idea, are you a tame person? Are you somebody who has a good grip on your emotions? Somebody who's not just flying off the handle all the time and losing your head over things and blowing your top off, right? Are you somebody who is considered tame? You have all of that under control. That's what true gentleness is really talking about. Now, this word tolerant, though, the word tolerant has been abused, I believe. And I think in this day and age, a lot of the world wants you to believe that true tolerance means agreeing with everybody. That is not tolerance. True tolerance is not the idea that, oh, I'll just agree with everyone and everything goes, it's fine, everyone's right. That's not, it's just contradictory. It's illogical. It's going to lead you down a path to insanity if you think that way, because you're not going to be able to make sense of anything if you assume that, tolerance is about agreeing and being a people pleaser. Can you please everybody? No. Have you tried, though? Yep. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. Every time I've ever attempted it, didn't work. And I assume that most of your testimonies would be the same, that no matter how much you try to please everybody, there's always somebody who's going to be upset with you. So the goal of being tolerant, real tolerance, is this right here. Showing willingness to allow the existence of opinions or behavior that one does not necessarily agree with. So again, the biggest difference is the worldly idea of tolerance is either you agree that, you know, what the world is doing is good and fine, or else you're considered a bigot and you're considered hateful and you're considered, you know, somebody who's stuck in the past or whatever. Or it's contrasted with what we just read. It's not about agreeing with all of that. It's about being able to disagree and still allow that person to exist. And what do I mean by allow them to exist? That you would like snuff them out otherwise? No, that's not what I mean. I simply mean that when you are in somebody else's presence who doesn't agree with you on something, are you going to like basically block that person, avoid that person, unfriend that person because they don't see things the way that you do? Like, it's as if you're afraid that other people might think differently, and so all you do is surround yourself with people who only think the same exact thoughts that you think and have the same exact opinions that you have, and as a result, you're never challenged. You're never growing. Now, don't get me wrong. It's important for your close relationships to be filled with people who are headed in the same direction, and that is, for us, the kingdom of God, right? We're walking with Jesus. We want to walk with other people who are walking with Jesus. But if you think you're never to relate to people who are different than you, you've got another thing coming. Because Jesus related to people who were very different from himself. Jesus was accused constantly of hanging out with sinners and tax collectors and all of these people who the world kind of wanted to push to the side and say, yeah, they're not worthy of kindness. They're not worthy of love. Let's push them away. But Jesus is going to them, spending time with them. And did he agree with everything they did? Of course not. He'd tell them the truth, but he'd do it with love. But you see, he wasn't like simply like saying, you know, wow, like, I can't believe these people have these beliefs. I'm just going to avoid them. Like, that's what a lot of Christians do. And that's what a lot of Christians do even to each other. You see, the difference between worldly tolerance and the tolerance that we're learning about right now is a lot of the agendas that you see the world, you know, raising their banner for and getting behind and trying to get people to support, they won't stop until you celebrate with them. They won't be satisfied until everyone not only agrees with what they're doing, but is also celebrating with them to the point where, you know, you look happy about it and you're all for it and you'll do anything for the cause. That's like the literal opposite of tolerance, saying, hey, you need to agree with this, and if not, then we hate you. That's not tolerance. And yet they believe that they are the ones who are heralding tolerance. They think it's, you know, bigoted old Christians like us who are, you know, intolerant. But in reality, not having any standards at all and then being upset with people who do have standards is intolerant. Does that make sense? So the thing is, we have to get rid of the abuse that's happened to the word tolerance and understand it in the context of the definition I just read to you. You're going to have people in your life that don't see eye to eye with you. That doesn't mean you abandon them. That doesn't mean that you just leave them by the wayside and you start little cliques and clubs of other people that only agree with what you agree with, and you never expose yourself to the potential uncomfortable situation of talking to somebody who doesn't see eye to eye with you. So here's the thing. Biblical kindness is supernatural and it fills the entire person. That's the goal. It's what you're becoming. It's this overflow of kindness that's coming out of you being extended to others. Biblical kindness is showing restraint and self-control when you don't want to, when you don't feel like it. Biblical kindness is the relaxing and mitigating of extreme harshness in you. You know what I mean by extreme harshness, right? Like, just that word that's meant to wound, to bite, to try and cause pain in. I want you to think of, even if, you know, if you're a married individual and in some of the conversations or arguments that you might have had with your spouse, some of the hurtful things that you've said, you were being harsh in that moment. True kindness doesn't have that.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.